Hey guys, Brandon here. Before this episode one, I want to say this is not going to be suitable for children. So if you're going to listen to this episode in front of your children, don't. We recommend you don't. If you're a believer as a sibling, we recommend that you don't. We want to start off the episode. We typically start our episodes off with prayer anyway. But we want to invite you to join us in this for this intro. It's just... it's a dark world. It's a dark world. We've talked about that, but it's not a dark world without hope. Darren, I haven't even told you this, but so my father-in-law is staying with us tonight. He came home from work. He works at a school, a middle school, and as he got home, they found out that one of their students got shot at a metro station or something like that, and news was still spilling in, you know, because it just happened. It just happened. He didn't make it. He passed. So he had to be on a meeting with like the other administrators and the principal and everything else. And And so it's very loosely, but still very directly connected to what we're talking about today. As far as culture, as far as what we are influenced by, but then also the spirit at work in the sons of lawlessness, the prince of the power of the air. So as we talk about this big topic that's kind of being treated as like gossip now, and it's kind of like, what is it, like shock value kind of thing, like, ooh, Diddy. We're going to be referencing Sean Diddy Combs, Sean Puff Daddy Combs. We're going to be referencing other artists, the industry, but that's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is far greater, and if you're a listener of this podcast frequently, you know that we like to go above the immediate thing. So we're talking about the darkness that influences these industries and things like that. So I want to pray for the family of this young boy in middle school. And then also let's pray that God's justice be swift and that light penetrates the darkness. So let me pray. Lord, we lift up the families of this young boy who was murdered today. Father, the news can become very mundane when you hear about murder after murder. And even more so, it's becoming more prevalent to hear it of children, to see videos of children. And it's angering, Lord. And so I already know, one, I'm undeserving to be someone in anger, yet you've granted me and my brother and a lot of those listening here, the right to be children of yours, so we join in your anger. It's angering to see that this type of lifestyle is glorified in our entertainment and our music. As a family mourns right now as I speak, as a family won't wake up tomorrow with their son, and someone's probably writing a song about another instance emulating this moment. And we'll dance to it. And movies will be made about it. Characters will be developed around it. And so, Lord, that angers us. The things that we talk about on this podcast, Father, is a desire to glorify you and make your name known, which will be exalted among the nations, exalted on the earth. Lord, I pray that this family would know you as the God of all comfort. Father, I pray that all of the darkness that's being exposed to in the light doesn't suit our, excitement as onlookers. But Father, I pray that its purpose is to draw people to the reality of the darkness of this world, that they would seek you, that they would humble themselves and cry out to you as the light of the world. Father, we don't apologize for the way that we approach the things that poison our society. We don't apologize for the things that may offend people because they're in love with the darkness, as people who also used to love the darkness who have been drawn to light, Lord. We don't apologize, but our desire is to never partner with the unfruitful works of darkness, but to expose them. We pray that this episode does just that. Would you speak to the hearts of your children, that we would be intercessors for those who are living in darkness, who are oppressed by darkness. Father, would we be agents of light, imitators of you, children of light. My desire is that we and those who listen with us who are in Christ would walk as children of light, and that we would be your workmanship. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Black and Blurred.
Hi.
That's Darren. I'm Brandon. You didn't say that that's me.
I looked at myself and I'm off the screen.
Idiot.
Messed me up.
Just fix it real quick.
I think I'm close to here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. I said it at the top of this episode in the intro, but I'm going to say it again. This is not an episode suitable for children. If you're going to watch this on YouTube, maybe I'll put the whole thing on YouTube. I don't know. Patrons will definitely get it. But before that, a couple of household things. The same old stuff. So good news, maybe good news, we'll see. But I think our shadow ban might be lifting. Because out of the 14,000 Instagram followers that we have, I did see 20 new likes. That's up from the 5.
Oh, man.
And people aren't seeing our post. Our sister, Christine, texted me. And she'll just randomly text me something and say, yeah, I know, that was crazy. And I'm like, what are you talking about? The post you just made. I'm like, what post?
Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Like, Chris, that's like 2 months old. Mm. And I'm like, so people aren't seeing our post. But we think that might be lifting, but we don't know. Because it's been a while since I've seen more than 7 likes on a post. It's been a while. They'll accumulate over time and it'll end up in hitting like 50 or 70 or something like that. But people aren't seeing our posts. But then in addition to that, I don't know if you've seen this, but little Mark Zucky added a new component on Instagram where there is a setting on every person's profile.
Conservative stuff.
To see less political posts.
Yeah, you can go and change that. Yeah.
Not only is that setting in existence now, it's automatically set to know.
Right, yeah.
I don't want to see political posts. Mm-hmm. So then all Instagram has to do is deem all your posts political and they won't see it. And I think
it's political conservative posts.
Correct. Yeah, Kali, if you listen to our old episode, past episode with Kali Fontania, she's at about 300 to 400,000 followers and her posts aren't being seen either.
Yeah.
So this is a thing, but if you share, they don't disappear. So if you share them, if you like them, then they will be seen and they will be pushed. So please share, like our posts, repost, whatever, tag us in things to help our posts get visible. What were you about to say?
Nah, I was just thinking about Kali and what's the guy who Vernon? What's his name again?
Virgil.
Virgil. What's the guy who was saying it though?
Whitlock.
Well, yeah, Jason Whitlock. Kali, you know, she does her famous character. I can't remember her name.
Luna.
And
you
she
can't
has,
remember anything.
Yeah, I know. And she has the all black teachers matters mask on. Mm-hmm. And it was one clip that she reshared from a while ago where Jason Whitlock thought it was real. He did a whole thing on it. Mm-hmm. It was pretty funny.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, she does a very good job. We want to bring her on to do Luna and just have an episode with Luna. So well, she said, let her know.
She was saying using the toilet was racist.
Yeah.
That's funny, man.
Was that what Jason Whitlock watched?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Using it. Yeah, man. She triggered a lot of people. I mean, even when I posted her, like to advertise the episode, mm-hmm. people were all in the comment section like, yeah, I can't stand her. Like conservative people. I can't stand her. Every time she's on air, she just takes a big crap on the right. And I just let it go. Unreal. I didn't, you know, I just let it go. I tagged her in the comment section so she could see people going off.
Does she have her own page for Luna? She should.
I don't think so. She really should.
She should get like a.
I don't think that she wants to even deal with that.
I know. That would be a lot of.
Yeah. I don't think that she wants
to. That's just to deal a big troll.
But if you haven't listened to that episode with Callie, listen to it. It's pretty good. We're posting clips of that episode on video on YouTube. And that's not a thing. Like, I'm going to post the whole thing on Patreon, and that's not like a slight to everybody who's listening. But Callie was helping us out after we finished. We were just talking about the woes of social media and being censored and things like that.
She had some good pointers.
And one of those pointers was to take clips of episodes and post them rather than long form to help generate more
views. Or also, rather than posting new things, you know, like creating individual clips, like just creating clips.
Oh, yeah, clips of
existing episodes to help save time. And
yeah, right. So we'll post a long form video of with Callie on Patreon for our patrons, and I think I already have two different clips from the episode on YouTube. So check those out, like and share those, subscribe on YouTube if you haven't already. The G3 conference is coming up in May. Mm-hmm. We're going to be in Texas, May 8th through the 11th.
Well, yeah.
We're flying out.
Yeah, we'll
Wednesday.
Be there.
Okay.
Yeah.
9th through the 11th is the conference. We'll be there. We'll be doing episodes with some of the speakers there. I think Paul Washer will be there. Obviously, Virgil Walker will be there. Dr. Stephen Lawson will be there. Dr. Josh Bice will be there. If you're familiar with any of those names, if you're not, look them up. Look up their content. If you want good, hearty, biblical teaching, then they've got it. They've got it. And so we're hoping to be able to have some good conversations with some of them and bring to them some of the black and blurred topics to get their insights on it. And I would love to get their insights on those things. Okay, so that's in May. And we'd love to kick it with you guys, meet you in person if you're going to be there. So let us know if you're going. Also, in the notes section of every episode is a discount for you to sign up for that conference. So you don't have to pay full price. You can use our black and blurred discount for that conference. And bada bing, bada boom. Okay, let's go. Here we are. It's the 90s again, apparently. Mm-hmm. Whenever we have these big conversations, I never know where to start. But, you know, when I was writing down notes, what naturally came to me was kind of like this title. If I were to do a blog post about what I was thinking about right now, I would call it... the difference between Cosby and Diddy. That's what I would call that post. The difference between Cosby and Diddy. And the reason I thought about that is because, I mean, my mind was going a mile an hour. Office people would get that. But I was just thinking about all the different people who, like, quote unquote, get caught. Who got caught.
Yeah. I mean.
What?
Right. I mean,
are you having a stroke?
There's never any, like, you know what I mean? There's never any concrete evidence, even with Bill Cosby. Like, we can just assume, like, the judge said, yeah, you did it.
Yeah.
But there's always just accusers. And there's never, like, evidence like, this was right. It was proven to be true. It's just kind of like, there's enough accusers. It's kind of like a court of public opinion thing.
Oh, yeah, court of public opinion is strong.
Whereas, like, if you go against what everyone's saying...
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. I think that what people are learning...
Not saying that Cosby ain't do it.
And that's the point I'm coming across. The reason I didn't say, like, Cosby versus Diddy or, you know, understanding Cosby versus understanding Diddy, it's the difference between them. It's because I do put them in that small section of the Venn diagram. Mm-hmm. There is overlap there where they share that space. And the things that Cosby... has been convicted of doing. I'm not. I lean more towards, yeah, he probably did that stuff. Mm-hmm. And the things that Diddy does. Now, in the bigger part of the more extremes of the Venn diagram, Diddy exists in his own realm in the context of this conversation between him and Cosby. Mm-hmm. And Cosby exists in his own realm. And so I think the heightened difference involves what they contribute to society.
Okay.
What they contributed to society, as for their jobs.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so let's start here. We've talked about these things before. I was just refreshing up on some of these things as far as like, I'll start with black families, because this is about Diddy, hip hop culture and stuff like that we're going to talk about in here. But we're going to zoom that out into just entertainment, Hollywood, which encompasses all entertainment, that kind of phrasing. But you think about the disintegration of the black family. In 1960, 51% of black females age 15 to 24 were married. Think about that. 1960, 51%, over half of black women.
Actually, black families were getting married more than whites.
Were married. Only 20% were divorced. So that means that they were married.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, divorce is heartbreaking. It's a tragedy. And sometimes it's necessary. But that 20% is not just divorce. It's 20% were divorced, widowed, or separated.
Hmm.
And 28% were never married. So 51% were married between 15 and 24. 20% were divorced, widowed, or separated. And 28% had never been married. So think about this. Almost 30% between the ages of 15 and 24 had been married and divorced, or married and widowed, married and separated.
Mm-hmm.
So marriage was a thing. 1960. So in 1988, 31% were married, and 48% were never married. Jump to 1994. 1994, 56% had never married between 15 and 24. 25% were married. So now we've gone from 51% to 25%. And so going back to 1960, as a result of these marriages, in 1960, 70% of black children were living with married parents.
Mm-hmm.
In 94, 30% of children living with married parents. In 1960, 22% of black children were born to unmarried parents, only 22%. In 1994, 70% of black children are born to unmarried parents. And so this idea of broken marriages, broken homes, they're more common at the end of the 20th century than they were in the middle or the beginning of the 20th century.
Yeah, which, and for people who want to hear it more simpler, simply put, people are getting married more often during Jim Crow and slavery.
Mm.
Families, black families, were more intact during Jim Crow and slavery than they are now in 2024.
You mean closer to the timeline of those things, yeah.
Yeah, 1960s, 70s.
Yeah, yeah, right?
Yeah.
Well, right. And beginning of the 20th century.
Right,
yeah.
And so here we are, 2024, more free than we've ever been as a country at whole. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? All cultures that come from different places, they're free from Ireland, all these other countries, right?
Yeah.
Immigrants come to America. Everyone's free here. And people are less married.
Yeah.
More divorced.
Yeah.
More in bondage, it seems.
Yeah, yeah. More oppressed.
More impoverished.
Now, one thing that we talked about on this, if you haven't listened to our 10 Reasons the Left Hates Black People episode, go listen to that episode. I'm going to reference a few old episodes if you haven't listened to them. They're great episodes. I'm not just saying that because we made them. but the feedback, I think people really appreciated those episodes. So mm-hmm. Go listen to the top 10 reasons why the left hates black people. But a part of this is the liberal welfare state, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you have that speak, you have that ideology, you have those codified principles of, you know, the man and the home rule, where a woman can gain help from the government as long as there's not a man in the home, type of thing. You have feminism. That's affecting that. Mm-hmm. So you have women being turned against men that started in white suburban culture, but over time it matriculated into black culture as well. We did the music thing where we started mm-hmm. even hearing it in music, right?
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where I want to park. So we did the more bureaucratic side of that, the governmental kind of policy side. But what also contributes to this numbers is our entertainment, because they're married. The way the government operates and manipulates and propagates a society is through their entertainment.
Yeah.
I forget whose quote this is, but you're learning. He said you learn the most when you think you're being entertained. And here we are with, this isn't new. Like, you hear like these celebrity big, you know, blow up things, but there's always something. You brought up.
Go ahead.
No,
I don't know what I'm about to say. No, I was about to say something a little different. I don't want to take you off track, though.
Yeah, okay.
But at what point are the one-offs now the whole? You know what
Correct.
I'm saying? There's all these one-offs everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we can go, you know, most recently Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein. We can go even more, you know, Bill Cosby, R. Kelly, Michael Jackson.
I
mean, at what point is it like, it is what it is?
Yeah.
Like, it's the whole. It's what it is.
Yeah, man.
There isn't just the one guy.
Right.
We thought we got the one guy, right? We got him.
Yeah.
It was Jeffrey Epstein, right?
I can tell you this, guys, be prepared for a documentary about Sean Puffy Combs coming out soon.
Yeah.
Why?
They don't even wait that long anymore.
Because the narrative needs to be controlled through entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have a good Netflix documentary. You've got to have something. But we're jumping the gun a little bit. So let me get back to my
HBO.
The difference between, I know, because you have what, The Quiet on Set?
Mm-hmm. Jeffrey Epstein is HBO too.
Yeah, Jeffrey Epstein was. No, that was Netflix.
Was it?
Yeah.
What am I thinking of then?
They probably did one on HBO too. I don't know. They get out for, you know, 9/11 had like 11 movies.
The Clintons one. What was the Clintons one?
There's a Clintons documentary?
I thought there was one.
Heavens,
Hillary Clinton.
No.
I thought there was.
That director died yesterday if there's a Clinton documentary. Absolutely.
I'm tripping. Yeah, I'm tripping.
Absolutely not. So for those who do not know, Sean Dior Combs, a.k.a. Puff Daddy, a.k.a. P. Diddy, a.k.a. Diddy, is a hip-hop mogul, record producer, CEO of Bad Boy Entertainment, and has been since the early to mid-90s. He's been in the industry for a very long time. I believe he's a Howard graduate. I'm doing all this from memory right now. I believe he graduated from Howard. And he has been surrounded in controversy.
Yeah.
Now, even as a child, my earliest form of controversy was the Biggie and Tupac thing. If you are not a fan of hip-hop culture, and if you are one of our dear older siblings who has nothing to do with anything with a strong beat to it, you even know who Biggie Smalls and Tupac Shakur is.
Mm-hmm.
And the controversy around those things. But I was saying that you had mentioned, I remember what you were talking about because I couldn't remember at the time. You were mentioned when Puffy was with J-Lo and it was something, it was Shine.
Right.
And I knew that when this artist who was signed to Puff Daddy, Shine, went to prison, at school, everybody talked about that as the rapper that took a charge for Puffy.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody just knew.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew he took a charge that instead of Puffy going to jail for a crime he committed, somebody employed by him took the charge for him. But back to the difference between Puffy and Bill Cosby. You mentioned some great names. Bill Clinton. Something that really bothers me. I'm getting to it. Something that really bothers me is how supportive society has been of predators throughout the years. I mean, how many saxophones has Bill Clinton blown since the story?
What are you doing? What are you doing?
How many sacks? I mean, how many events did he go to? How many jokes was he a part of, especially in Black American culture where we accepted him? Oh, yeah, he's the first Black president. He smokes weed and he cheats on his wife. He's one of us.
Yeah.
He's just human. He's just a man.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about this. I was like, can you imagine if somebody came out and said, hey, Puff Daddy's music is actually trash. The artists that he puts out is trash, and the stuff that he promulgates is trash. Christians, you shouldn't listen to him. How many Christians would have jumped down their neck for criticizing their hero? For Black History Month, I'm honoring Puff Daddy. I say all that to say that the difference is Diddy promulgates who he is. What are you laughing at?
I was about to sing a random lyric.
Okay.
Never mind. Yeah,
don't. You need to control yourself. Because whenever we bring up Diddy, you be going crazy. Diddy promulgates who he is.
Yeah.
What we are seeing, and a lot of this stuff is alleged, a lot of this stuff is conjecture, but some of this stuff is fact. It's just fact. And when it comes down to the promiscuity, when it comes down to the sexual deviance, when it comes down to the degradation of women, when it comes down to the degradation of men, all of that is promulgated in hip-hop culture.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby. Hey, go ahead.
Just real quick, because I feel like, I think you think you're starting from the beginning.
And I am.
I think you think that.
No, I am.
But I want to say this to people who think sex trafficking happens, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it happens by someone.
Mm-hmm.
People are doing, everyone wants to, everyone normal wants to fight sex trafficking. And in order to understand how something so evil can be so prolific, you have to accept where it can come from, where it can start. And I think people don't really believe when people say things like, hey, man, Diddy's a sex trafficker.
Yeah.
You know who else? Beyonce and Jay-Z and whoever else could be involved in that kind of stuff.
It's slanderous.
Yeah, don't poo-poo that. Because someone has to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's your favorite president, whoever that person is.
Mm-mm.
Look into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Don't shut it down immediately, because I think some people, they shut this conversation down when you start talking about celebrities.
Yeah.
Because it might their be, like idols. You said, it might be their heroes.
It's idols. It's idolatry.
Right. You know, when I say that, you know, people like Beyonce have done more harm to the Black community than help. Listen, correct. Look it up. Just look, you know what I'm saying? Like, understand it.
You're right.
Try to understand that. Yeah. Because some people don't even believe, they know sex trafficking happens, but it's some boogeyman.
Yeah.
It's not the guy that you whose concert you go to.
Ooh, that you gave money to.
A whole lot of money. You funded a sex trafficking ring.
Oh,
and you might not know it.
And we believe you would want to know it.
Right. Yeah, of course. Who wouldn't want to know that?
But we stop believing that if we tell you and you get mad at us.
Right.
Then we're like, oh, you're one of them.
I have a hard time going. I think I said this to you. I have a hard time going to the movies now.
Yeah, same. I was going to get there, but.
I'm sorry.
I think I'm starting from the beginning, but.
But it's just like, you know.
Yeah, no, real talk.
Just you're because 100%. It's like. It's
very true.
It feels weird. It just feels weird going in like, man, I'm literally giving some random studio dude
some money
to do a trash movie, by the way.
Yeah,
because there aren't any more good ones.
No, good movies are gone. No, hey, look, a lot of things have died for me, and I'm grateful to the Lord for stealing or taking away things from me, as far as things that I valued and held up so highly. Yeah.
Next is all these subscription accounts.
Yeah, like it's dark. It's dark. Okay, we got to matriculate through this because I even got clips and stuff like that. Oh, we might end up doing two parts.
Well, let's
of this.
Start with where Bill Cosby, you said.
Yeah, well, Bill Cosby. Yeah, I was just saying I'm highlighting how people. You know, I want to read this tweet. People will defend what they don't know just out of blind loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
They'll defend it. Now I follow the AND campaign, and I follow the AND campaign because I think it's good to have brothers and sisters that you can listen to that you don't necessarily agree with 100%. And I don't necessarily agree with everything the AND campaign does, so therefore I make sure that I'm listening. but this is something that Justin Gibney, he started the AND campaign. This is what he said. He said, there are some people who will never honestly critique their political party, ideological tribe, race, sex, or class. We know which side they're going to take regardless of the facts and merits of the case. Take note and appraise their credibility accordingly. Now, ironically, I agree 100% with this, but that's what I'm doing with them. Mm-hmm. Because I rarely see them critique people who ought to be critiqued because they have a typical color to their skin typically. Now, I hope I'm wrong about that. That's just my thinking. And so I commented on that and I said, well, outside of politics, I see this amongst Black Americans. Mm. Feedback? Question mark. And his response was, yes, among many other groups. And yeah, that I'm sure that's true. 100%. I commented on that and I said, yeah, that pesky trait we all share called sin. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, you know, I'm not going to get too deep into that. But I agree with his statement. People are unapologetically and unequivocally supporters of people they don't know. Mm-hmm. Because they belong to some tribe. And that's what you were touching at. It's like you touch these celebrities ideologically, mm-hmm. and people get personal.
Yeah.
They get personally attacked because they are actual idols in their lives. So Diddy promulgates these things, all this stuff that you guys are hearing about, all the gossip, all the tea that you're probably hearing about, and all these little YouTube clips to get clicks and to get views and everything else. It's talking about real evil in the world. And guess what? It's evil they sing about.
Yeah.
It's in their music.
Are you surprised?
Yeah. It's in their music. And the difference is Bill Cosby didn't promulgate that.
No.
This is conjecture. I don't know. I didn't even follow it a lot. But it's my assumption that what they got Bill Cosby for was young Bill.
Yeah.
Super young Bill.
Yeah. It wasn't the Cosby we saw on TV.
No. It's super young Bill who was in the same world as Diddy. Mm-hmm. And he got diddied.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah. He got diddied. I'm saying Diddy is the one doing the stuff that happened to Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby was blackmailed, or at least he was invited to do something so that they could have that on him, so that if he steps out of line, like trying to buy his own network, which is what he was doing, then they could pull that card on him and say, nope, bad boy, you stepped out of line. No pun intended. You stepped out of line, go to prison. That simple. That seems too simplistic, but I promise you, That's probably closer to reality than you know. Mm-hmm. But what Bill Cosby did was he went the other direction. He didn't cater to the culture of Black America. He catered to what flourishing looked like and the desire he had for Black America to flourish. Mm-hmm. That's what the Cosby Show was. And guess how that was met? It was met with, you know, like, I can't really relate to that, man. I can't relate to the Cosby Show.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I ain't grow up with two parents.
It's not much different than Fresh Prince.
And here's the thing. Can you relate to Beyonce?
Right, I know.
Could I relate to Jay-Z? I didn't sell drugs. Mm-hmm. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Why is the culture so allergic to what makes them prosper? It's so wild. So I just want to play a quick clip. This is from the pilot episode, because you had the Cosby Show and you had other shows like it. I would say Fresh Prince, because you had the typical shows, the Jeffersons, Good Times, you know, whatever, that showed the Black plight and the subsequent hostility towards society because you're held down by the man, you know. But the Cosby Show was different. You're not held down by the man. You're a citizen like everyone else, and it takes hard work, and it takes a family, a unit, a cohesive unit to help promote that flourishing amongst one another.
Disciplining your children.
The Fresh Prince also showed this. Mm-hmm. And they kind of collided the two, where Will Smith is bringing this toxic mentality about what it means to be Black. And then you have, on the other extreme, another toxic mentality about what it means to be Black. And they mold it together to say, hey, we both have ignorance on both sides, and that maybe there is a beauty to our ethnicity, and it's not based in our presuppositions. But there is a complexity and a beauty to it. But you had the Cosby Show that's like that. You got a doctor and a lawyer who are married. They got five children. They live in a brownstone in New York City. So that's very different.
That's wild.
Yeah. Now, here's probably my favorite scene from The Cosby Show. If you're watching on video, you'll be able to see it. But, you know, listeners, you can still listen as well. Here's the context. Theo, their only son, is doing poorly in school. I mean, poorly. He's getting all D's. D's and failing grades. And so his father confronts him about it. Like, hey, you're not doing well in school. What's going on? And Theo is basically saying,
Is this in the video? This is not the video. Oh.
Theo is basically saying, hey, I just want to be a normal person. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't need to be some extraordinary person. I'm gonna be a normal person. And his father got the Monopoly money. He was like, okay, you're a normal person. How much you gonna make? He was like, I'm gonna make $300 a week. He said, okay, $300 a week. Gave him Monopoly money. Said, all right, here's taxes. Let me take this out. You're gonna need a car. Let me take this out. And Theo was like, nope, I'm gonna get a motorbike. And he took the money back. And his father was like, you plan on having a girlfriend? He said, yeah. He took the money back. All right. So now you're broke. Welcome to normality. But yeah, so this was after that, you know, beginning of that conversation. Now listen into this.
To do something now.
Where? Dad.
Hey! All right.
Dad, I thought about what you said, and I see your point.
Thank you. Thank you.
But I have a point, too.
Make your point.
You're a doctor and mom's a lawyer, and you're both successful and everything, and that's great. But maybe I was born to be a regular person and have a regular life. If you weren't a doctor, I wouldn't love you less because you're my dad. And so instead of acting disappointed because I'm not like you, maybe you can just accept who I am and love me anyway because I'm your son.
Theo, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. No wonder you get D's and everything. Now, you are afraid to try because you're afraid that your brain is going to explode and it's going to ooze out of your ears. Now, I'm telling you, you are going to try as hard as you can. And you're going to do it because I said so. I am your father. I brought you in this world, and I'll take you out.
Classic moment. That's a classic moment. Now, look what happened in that episode.
For the Family Matters.
Justin, I know. He stood up, ready for the clap. But what happened was he did poorly. It was his fault. He was held accountable. He blame shifted to his father, and his father said, you're being stupid. Mm-hmm. Wake up. That's the complete opposite of what's happening for Black Americans in this country today.
Right.
Where people are the opposite. Hey, no, it's okay. Yeah, you do need to be a regular person. Hey, look, you can't be a doctor. Mm-hmm. You're too stupid for that and to mm-hmm. be a lawyer. As a matter of fact, look, I'll tell you what. Oh, you're going to love this. We're going to let you in our schools.
Without an ID.
Without an ID. Look, because you're too stupid to get an ID. No, look, we're going to let you into our schools. Oh, yes. Let's get the Asian kids out of there.
Right.
Get the Asians out of there. And you get to go into our schools. No. Don't worry about it. Your grades won't matter. I know. Don't worry about it. You can get into our schools, and then we'll make sure you get some good jobs. Because, look, those companies need stupid people, too. The complete opposite of what he's teaching. Mm-hmm. And the response is, I can't relate to that.
Which may be true, but it's sad.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So Candace Owens did a thing on here. I mean, she kind of did like a, I guess, pseudo expose. Is anything really an expose at this point?
Because everybody's doing something. The information is everywhere.
But one thing that we want people to realize is that if you are steeped in the gossipness of this, wake up. Wake up, because something is being exposed for you to see. And it's not who Diddy is. It's what our world is. Mm-hmm. That what's being exposed, our flagship verse is Ephesians 5:11. take no partnership in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Our understanding is that these people seem to think that the world has evil, it has good, and then it's kind of like this neutral ground. Mm-hmm. And Darren, you're stepping on people's toes when you start talking about music and stuff, because that's a neutral. It's all good, baby. It's all good. Even though Beyonce's half naked riding on a pale horse,
right,
talking about taking scriptures and shoving them in her private parts, mm-hmm, when she's menstruating. Mm-hmm. Oh, Darren, only, come on, that's just art, baby. Normal people talk about that stuff. Mm-hmm. She didn't have any verses about the Quran, though, right? Nah, no verses about the Quran. that's what we want people to wake up in. But there's this clip from Clint. Did you see that episode? Did you see her episode on that where she was talking Puff Daddy stuff?
Candace?
Yeah. Maybe you saw something different in mine, but I want to play a couple clips.
She said, this is the last time I cover it.
Oh, is it? And she's going to talk about gangster rap, because let's just let her talk and we'll give some commentary on it.
Murder. The second big explosive thing that came from this document are the allegations that Diddy hosts freak-offs, essentially sexual events to procure blackmail on other people in the industry. That they all come and they have these drug-fused parties with underage boys, with underage girls. And throughout this lawsuit, he names multiple current rappers that have been involved in these parties and are therefore existing under blackmail, right? So if you can suddenly record somebody and they're hooking up with a person that is underage, if you're doing drugs and Diddy has cameras on it, well, then Diddy owned you, which...
And that's what happened to Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Which leads me to think, what even is gangster rap? It's a question that I have been asking a lot. It seems to me that there is something intentional, that they are intentionally feeding us filth via the media. And I wonder if a lot of these artists are existing within this blackmail ring. And also, where have we heard this before? Oh, yes, of course, Jeffrey Epstein, who was bizarrely protected. He was clearly an asset of not just the CIA, but also potentially the Mossad, very much involved with the Mossad over in Israel. And he, too, had so much access, so much wealth, and he got away with it for years, procuring what very clearly is blackmail on politicians. So what we are recognizing is that this ring also exists within Hollywood.
So, just give a recap. What she's highlighting is that Diddy would have these freak-offs parties where people do what people have been doing since the beginning of time. I mean, they did it in Sodom, Gomorrah, and Babylon, but, mm-hmm, you know, they've been doing it since the beginning of time. And it's evil. It's evil.
And they know it's evil.
They know it's evil.
Which is why it's blackmail.
That's right. That's exactly right. Great point. Great point. And I imagine, it'd be curious to see, I don't know if there's a way to quantify this, but what is the difference between what people admit to today in the, you know, everything is available, free, love is love, transgenderism, sexual, mm-hmm, licentiousness, versus 50 years ago, where there was a sexual morale in society, at least. I mean, think about Dwight Howard, a prolific NBA player who unashamedly talked about having sex with men. Mm-hmm. Not as a gay man, mm-hmm, but as somebody who just likes to get his freak on. It's disgusting. And so she's saying that what happens at these parties, people are drunk, they're high, probably inadvertently. Mm-hmm. Because in some of these things, what's the guy's name, the producer?
Rod.
Oh, Lil Rod.
Lil Rod.
Yeah, Rod Johnson or something like that?
Jones.
Who's accusing Diddy. He talked about Diddy spiking drinks and, mm-hmm, stuff like that and whatever at parties. Yeah. And so people do things. They find themselves in compromising positions. They're recorded. And
this is, by the way, it's available.
I have it up here.
Look up the lawsuit. Look up the lawsuit. It's about, I think it's like 73 pages. Mm. And all of it is available. So it's documented. There's photos. There's some graphic photos. But it's documented. So you can look it up. So speaking to that, one of his, I don't think it was Lil Rod, but one of his producers said that essentially they would invite new artists, right? And for example, that would be like Justin Bieber, mm-hmm. right? Imagine Justin Bieber or a Lil Bow Wow, yeah. right? Or it could be an actor, a young actor, like the little dude from Role Models. It could be anybody like that. It could be Orlando Brown, right, when they're young. Raven Simone when they're young. And they tell their parents, hey, we're gonna go to the studio. We're going to make them a star. But, you know, they got to stay with us overnight or they got to stay with us for the weekend. Usher, they got to stay with us for 48 hours. We're going to get them in the studio. But here's 30 grand. It's their first paycheck. So let's clap it up. You know, they're going to be a star, right? So to get there, you know, we're going to have a party to celebrate them. The parents aren't, you're not, you can't come. But, you know, we're going to take care of them. The parents are stupid. So they say, okay. The kids get there and they want to do a toast with champagne, right? And the kids don't like champagne. Like, no, I don't want champagne. And so they would put Alka-Seltzer in the champagne. So you can obviously see it bubbling at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids, because they're old enough, be like, there's something in the drink. And he'd be like, no, it's not. No, it's not. Like, yes, there is. There's something in the drink. And he would go, no, it's not. And eventually, like, all right, you got me. You got me. Just go in the refrigerator, get an apple juice, orange juice, which is already spiked.
Mm.
And so the kids go to the refrigerator, get the apple juice, orange juice. It's already been drugged. They don't know it. Now they're drug children.
Right. Have mercy. And who's saying this? The producer?
One of his producers.
Yeah.
A former bodyguard. That's what it was.
Former bodyguard. Yeah. And so I hope you're not listening to that thinking, oh my goodness, look at these deviants within Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hollywood is Babylon, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
If you don't have a context for Babylon, Hollywood is the epicenter of the darkest aspects of human society.
Right.
Now, the seeds dwell in all of our hearts, but those who have been called Christ have been drawn from the world in deed, in thought, in desire.
Yeah. That's ultimately what was convicting for me. I mean, these are people who have, you know, like access to just excess stuff.
Yeah.
This is billionaire sin is what I call it. And what it means is all it is just that these are people who have access to any and everything.
Yeah.
So their sin is on level 10.
Yeah, they can actually act some things out.
They can act out some things that some of us in our own hearts have in our browsers anyway.
Ooh.
And if you had $1 billion, what would it look like?
Whoa.
It's like, I mean.
Whoa. Wait. Yikes. Yikes. No, that's a very good point.
Yeah. I mean, if you had $1 billion and you wouldn't get caught. Oh, my
goodness. Look, yeah. Man, I want, if somebody's uncomfortable right now,
yeah.
who just heard you say that, someone's uncomfortable right now. And here's the good news. You can repent.
Mm-hmm.
You can repent. I was just talking to my father-in-law upstairs, and we were just talking about the bad part about Christians or people who think they're Christians looking at this news, it mm-hmm. gives them an opportunity to say, yeah, that's evil.
Right, right.
I'm not that bad.
Yeah.
And what got Jesus killed, although he voluntarily gave his life away, from a human perspective, what got him killed is that he tore down the pedestal so many Jews and Pharisees have been building up to reach the heights of God and be above their neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
I followed this law. And Jesus said, no, you're a murdering adulterer
mm-hmm.
is what you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're a murdering adulterer because the seeds dwell in your heart. And it keeps you condemned before God. Wow. So the person who is looking around on the dark parts of the internet,
mm-hmm.
what would that look like if you had access to the thing that you can only access on the computer?
Right.
Sheesh. Yeah, that's a bar. So we're going to keep going with Candace. We're going to keep going with Candace because, once again, this is bigger than Diddy.
Right.
This is a whole enterprise, but it's also a reflection of the world.
Yeah. And I just want people to notice the trend of that. You know what I mean? We talked about it earlier, but to kind of nail in that trend. So we are aware. That's what this is. It's a wake-up call. This is happening now.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's a wake-up call because it's been happening for such a long time under our noses. And we've been funding it. One of the trends is that this news becomes, it's not supposed to hit the public. Us lowly people aren't supposed to know about this.
No.
This is supposed to stay in Babylon.
Yeah.
But when it starts touching our ears, now they got to throw them to the wolves mm-hmm. so that the news can tear that one guy apart so it doesn't blow up the whole cabal.
Correct.
And so Jeffrey Epstein, like Candace mentioned, had blackmail on people.
Yeah.
He gets caught. He has to go.
He's got to die.
Because he's going to reveal information. He was in the political realm, yeah. right? He was in the 24 type
well,
people.
No.
Entertainers knew Jeffrey Epstein too.
Yeah, that's the whole world, dog. That's what I'm saying. It's all connected.
Yeah, I understand it's connected, but I would say that Jeffrey Epstein, his dealings have some political people, but it's more to entertainment. Mm. Influence is entertainment, right?
Well, let's listen
Jeffrey
to this
Epstein,
clip.
His influence was political figures.
I see.
Which, you know, what's the German dude that funds everything?
Soros?
Yeah, George Soros.
He's not German.
No, that's not what I'm talking about then.
Oh, I don't know who you're talking about.
Klaus Cross?
Oh, yeah, the WEC, World Economic Forum.
He had him as a client, whatever he did.
Yeah.
Whatever he did.
Procure women for sex.
The royal family.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
These people are in Jeffrey Epstein's pocket.
Yeah. I got you.
I
got you. They have to be
scapegoats. And that's the trend, right? And if you step out of line, we'll throw you to the wolves so that they don't think it's all of us.
Right. And mainly what we want from you is like, we don't need to fight this, y'all. Jesus won't beat this already.
Right, yeah.
Jesus beat this already. But what you need to do is wake up. Are you fangirling or fanboying over these people? Wake up. Are you desiring to be one of these people? Are you thinking your life would be better if you were rich and famous? Wake up. Mm-hmm. Are you thinking you want your child in Hollywood? Wake up!
Yeah, that's done. That's done.
Let's listen to this.
These women are invited over. So why is the media not interested in this story? Well, here is explosive allegation number 4 coming from this lawsuit. That the person who sits at the top of this ring potentially is Sir Lucian Grange. He is the CEO of Universal Music Group. He is also being sued. He has also been named as well as Universal Music Group. And he is, as a fact, one of the most powerful men in Hollywood. He runs, again, Universal Music Group, which is huge. Well, Rodney, the producer, is alleging that when Lucian would visit Diddy's house, the two of them would go into Diddy's bedroom and be locked up in there for hours. What does that mean? What are we supposed to think of that? By the way, I looked into Lucian, obviously, because I was fascinated by this document, and I find it really bizarre that he completely changed his name. He used to be Michael G., the son of Cecil G., who was a huge tailor in London. I found that in this old article, The Guardian, the headline is, "Forgotten and Overlooked, How Jewish Designers Dressed the Beatles and Changed Global Fashion." And in this article, there's a picture of Lucian. He was then, again, Michael G. He's sitting with his father, Cecil G. And it's just bizarre that also his father changed his name. In the article, it tells you that his father used to be Sasha Goldstein. So Sasha Goldstein became Cecil G, who gave birth to Michael G, who is now Lucian Grange. I mean,
just so happens those politicians that Jeffrey Epstein had in his back pocket also fund the entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I mean.
Yeah.
There is a marriage.
Yeah.
There is a marriage. What came first, chicken or the egg? I'll tell you now, the chicken. The chicken is the government. Mm-hmm. The chicken is the government. We're about to look at that. If you have not, this is from, geez, just digging in the crates now. If you have not listened to our episode on Out of Shadows, first of all, you can go ahead and skip our episode. Go watch the Out of Shadows documentary.
That first.
Go watch the Out of Shadows documentary. You can type in, you can just Google Out of Shadows. And what it does is it covers the research of a former Hollywood stuntman who came to Christ. I mean, that seems to be a trend. Mm-hmm. People come to Christ, and that's the only coherent and consistent truth claim that matches up with and provides hope to the realities of the evils in this world. Mm-hmm. See, everything else will lead to despair. Mm. You mean to tell me that the answer to this is for me to pray 10 times a day and commit my life to Allah and kill infidels?
Right.
So yeah, here we are. Here we are. We've got powerful people in this. That's why it's not everywhere on mainstream media. But it is everywhere on media. What are you thinking about?
I was just thinking about the last thing you said, talking about the only, like, usually the conclusion is for people to come to Christ. And I just thinking about a lot of celebrities within the last 10 years that have come out and come to Christ, quote unquote, and then have fallen into these churches that are just, they gravitate because they're so used to the big life. They gravitate to big churches with bad pastors.
Yeah.
And then they end up falling away.
Yeah.
I think about Kanye, Justin Bieber.
Well, let me say this about Kanye. We're going to touch on this a little bit in a few minutes, but. And this is still connected to the Outer Shadows thing because this is going into the crates of the stuff that we like. This is like conspiracy 101 class. You think about like MK Ultra, you think about mind control. Like, guys, we talked about this in a Christmas episode, but if you think you have an idea on how dark the world is, think again. The darkness definitely has been overcome, but what it costs is for the living God to be made flesh and die.
Right.
Guys, we're not just talking about people who cuss and beat people up. Mm-hmm. It's dark. It's dark. And so this is conjecture. But I can't help but remember when Kanye was, you know, just doing his Kanye stuff. But he was clear-headed Christian Kanye at that time. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he was doing was just taking screenshots of his texts. And I imagine he stepped out of bounds plenty times when it comes down to his handlers. Like these celebrities who can step out of bounds have handlers. Mm-hmm. Diddy has a handler. You're like, and he is the handler in a lot of different cases. But Kanye talked about, or he sent a screenshot of text messages he was getting from his handler saying that he needed to stop what he was doing or they were going to put him on medication again. Mm-hmm. And Kanye took a screenshot of that and he tweeted it. Mm. You can look that up. I wish I had it to pull it up right here. But and I think about that. And then I think about how he just kind of went away for a little bit. And now he's back married to some model woman who likes to take her clothes off. Mm-hmm. And he's back to being God. Mm-hmm. I can't give you a conclusive thought on that, but I'm just saying I think there's more than what meets the eye there.
After being stripped of a lot of his money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
His livelihood.
Yeah. That's right.
Family. Yeah.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Because he was saying a lot about the industry and its Jewish ownership.
Yeah.
There's just a lot. Mm-hmm. There's a lot there. And there's a slavery going on that we don't see. Not only do we not see it, once again, taking your words, we fund it. Mm-hmm. Man, we fund it. Do the people ask for it? Yeah. Do they think they can work hard to get to it? Yeah. But I think we talked about this in a first episode. Like, there are a lot of like kind of underground, you know, conversations and podcasts of hip hop artists and things like that. When they get to the industry and they're like, oh my gosh, everybody's gay here. What is this? I walk into this room and this guy is doing this thing. This hip hop idol is doing this thing to this guy. I mean, So let's continue on with Candace. Let's continue on. I'll let you listen to it.
Well, now Cat Williams is on Joe Rogan, the Joe Rogan podcast, and he is trying to signal to the world that people in Hollywood, that Hollywood altogether was built as a psychological weapon, so to speak. Take a listen to Cat Williams in his own words.
Hollywood is not really there to entertain you. Like, that's great that happens. But propaganda is something that is important to all civilizations.
And those movies are successful, and so they continue this relationship, and you become a bit of a propaganda arm for the government. And in turn, they don't f*** with you.
That's what makes information so powerful is, you know, you don't care how people feel about the ritual. It's about, does following the ritual work? Yeah. And so you can fool yourself into thinking there isn't one, but the evidence will be clear. So like when I was like, these guys are wearing dresses. And everybody's like, oh, he keeps talking about people wearing dresses. No,
it's a weird thing.
It's not like that. Look at it from a different way. Look at it. Show me one person that ever wore a dress in Hollywood unsuccessfully.
So maybe that's the answer.
He's right.
Yeah, no.
He's right. And by that, oh, man, I didn't share that. I'm an idiot.
Did they hear it, though?
They can hear it. Yeah, they heard it. But, yeah, you know, what he's highlighting regarding the dresses is, there's a thing that people have been saying for a long time. Dave Chappelle was one of them, where as a man in Hollywood, there is this kind of humiliation ritual, mm-hmm. that where they want you to do something involving you wearing a dress. And that typically is symbolic of your emasculation in other ways, mm-hmm. where a lot of men in Hollywood have agreed.
Yeah.
Have agreed to such emasculation. In multiple ways. And other men haven't agreed yet have still been emasculated. In mm-hmm. like Terry Crews.
Yep.
Terry Crews said that he was grabbed in his private parts by an executive at a party. And it wasn't like a quick thing, like the executive didn't want people to see it. He was very audacious, mm-hmm. and grabbed him, a 6'2", 260-pound man, mm-hmm. grabbed him as if he knew Terry Crews could do nothing about it afterwards. Mm-hmm. That's the world that is. Going to what Candace was saying, like Hollywood, we think of Hollywood as the place of the stars and the mm-hmm. celebrities and all of it. I take Hollywood to be the geographical location of evil.
Right, yeah.
The geographical potent evil. Mm-hmm. Explicit evil.
District 1 for Hunger Games.
Yeah, yeah. It's music, it's entertainment, it's politics, and like I said, the chicken being a government, that's what's addressed on Out of Shadows. Mm-hmm. Out of Shadows talks about how these mainstream media places, you remember that? They talked about the OSS, which was a precursor to the CIA.
All right.
And yeah. You had these different guys, one named, let me see, William Paley. William Paley is the founder of CBS. He was a Jewish man who served as the colonel and acted as director of radio operations of psychological warfare. And that was in the Office of War and Information for the Allied powers. I forget this other guy's name. I forget his name. But they talk about him. The creator of NBC also was a general. I think that he received a brigadier general star or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, he did what was it? RKA, started that, but which turned into NBC. But these guys, this weird connection, there's consistency where the creators of these programming stations mm-hmm. Also have connections to the army, and not just the army, the intelligence wings of the army or segments of the army or military. Intelligence. And Outer Shadows talks about that. I want to try to bring up that clip so people can hear it.
It's funneling information in to Hollywood. Hollywood is putting out in the movies, and the population believes it.
All right, so look, here's the deal. They have been desensitizing us since we were born, and I'll give you some examples. Let's start with the big one. Let's start with words we hear all the time and never even think about. Let's start with the word entertainment. To entertain. What does that mean? To bind or hold. To bind or hold what? An audience's attention. Okay, now let's take the word Hollywood. Where does that come from? Well, Hollywood comes from the holly tree. And the ancient druids, back in the day, used to take the holly tree, make wands to weave spells, cast spells, or channel spells. And when they needed help, they would consult the magi or the mediums of the day to help channel their spells to the population. We'll cut to today. What do we have in our houses? We have these black boxes. What are they called? TVs. But if you stop and you say the word tell-a-vision, television. And when you turn on that television, what do you get? What's the first thing that pops up? A list of channels. And when you turn on those channels, what's on those channels? Programming. They are programming you. They've been programming your whole life. You don't even know it. They do it with your music. They do it with your TV. They do it with your movies. They do it with your games. They have been programming us and programming you since you were little, and you don't even know it because you don't even question it.
And not only do we not question it, those who do question it, we get angry with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's fight against the questioners.
Yeah, we fight the questioners. And you know why?
You've been programmed.
We've been programmed to fight against the questioners.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hateful to question certain people, right? So if a woman runs into this studio right now, and there's a man standing at the studio, and she says, "Shoot him! He's trying to kill me." And if he's just standing there, I've got some questions.
Mm-hmm.
But then if she says, "That's hateful for you to ask questions." Mm-hmm. What? But that's what people have been told. And that's why the Me Too movement became what it was. Rather than exposing evils that were happening to women, which is, that's not what it was. I'm sorry if that's a... I hope people already know that. The Me Too movement was manufactured. It's fraudulent. I mean,
yeah.
I'm not saying women didn't undergo terrible things, but it's happening right now.
Yeah.
Weinstein just got caught.
Yeah, it was cowboyed. Yeah, completely. Yeah.
Weinstein got caught. Oprah's Weinstein's girl. Like that. Mm-hmm. But Oprah was standing up on stage with a pen talking about Me Too. Like, get out of here, man.
Mm-hmm.
It was whack. That was whack.
So, I mean, I believe it was some murmuring about real stuff, and they cowboyed it. They took it over.
Yes.
So that the noise was loud.
Yeah.
And people didn't pay attention to what was real.
What was real. That's exactly right. So what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So I typically don't really like the pseudo etymology or philology thing with the words. Television. I don't know the etymology of the word television.
Yeah.
However, what I want to get stuck on is the Hollywood thing. Mm-hmm. That's real. That's factual. That's where Hollywood comes from.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Hollywood comes from. And if people think that though that may be true in the past, that the ancient Druids did that with the holly tree, that has no connection to today, then you tell me, Hollywood come from?
When was the sign built?
Also tell me, what do you think the religious beliefs of people in Hollywood are? You think they're all atheists?
Right, yeah.
Naive. That would be naive.
Mm-hmm.
To think they're all atheists. They are. I'm speaking very generally here. Not everybody's an atheist in Hollywood. There are Christians in Hollywood who are tormented daily in Hollywood. But there's a lot of satanic activity in Hollywood. And they're so kind as to put it in their work.
Right.
So that we can pay for it and see it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're getting close. We're getting close to the end. Let me play this other clip from Outer Shadows, because what we want people to know is that this Diddy thing is bigger than Diddy and bigger than rap. What number is that? Where am I at? Okay, let's go here.
That is our job. As I was researching, I found that most of the early communication companies were developed for shipping or aviation. And a lot of the men that started these companies were commissioned by the military during World War I and World War II. Many of these men worked for the Army and Navy intelligence services, along with the OSS, which we know became the CIA. There were many examples of these men becoming the heads or founders of some of the biggest motion picture and media companies before and after their government or military service. I wanted to know how many of the media companies in today's world connected back to Washington. So I started looking. It was like a family tree. The connections between our government personnel and the media corporations was unbelievable. Google, Amazon, Netflix, Twitter, CNN, ABC. So what would happen if all these companies had the same political ideology or agenda?
What would happen is what we're seeing today. That's what would happen. Where if you disagree with a certain narrative, you can easily be shut out. Mm-hmm. And if you agree with a certain narrative, you'll be propagated. You'll be pulled up. You will be exalted among the people. Mm-hmm. Our late night TV shows, you're not allowed to have conservative values on right. that. I don't even think you're allowed to have values.
Right.
And what's very interesting is that.
Yeah. I mean, just to put in perspective, there's pornography on Twitter.
Oh, wow. Are you serious?
Yeah. Just there.
Yeah, that's. I think it's like that on Instagram, yeah. too.
There's porn everywhere on social media.
Yeah.
But as soon as you say men can't be women, you're yeah. banned.
You're banned.
Jordan Peterson's banned.
Yeah.
Donald Trump was banned.
Yeah.
People shadow banned. Posts getting throttled. Yeah, yeah. Because and they have
this is our world. Yeah. This is our world today. And people think that it's just reduced to a political feud between people yeah, on different yeah. sides. There's bad on bad sides. Guys, you don't clearly understand the world here. Mm-hmm. You're not understanding. We are living in an America today where Christians who sang hymns at an abortion clinic have been charged and rendered guilty.
Mm-hmm.
They've been convicted and will do jail time. They sang hymns. Our favorite commentator on Instagram commented on it, Amber, and she said, well, they shouldn't have been trespassing then.
Trespassing?
Now, guess what? She is a lesbian atheist. I mean, her comment's not surprising,
yeah.
yet she agrees with a lot of Christians today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or I should say a lot of Christians would agree with her,
yep.
They shouldn't have been trespassing. I remember in COVID times when there were pastors being arrested for holding services. I heard from Christians, well, that's what they get for trying to buck the system. Buck the system?
Right. I know. Yeah.
Are they not serving a king? But that's the way we talk. And then it's those same Christians that if you talk about their favorite artist, mm-hmm. then you'll see the apologists come out. Then you'll see what kingdom they're actually for. All right, let me stop talking about that before I get angry. Darren, you have a clip because we're wrapping up soon. I think I'm going to keep this as one part. It's a nice long form.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a clip of Justin Bieber in where he's talking about being protective of Billie Eilish, right?
Yeah,
play that.
Did you feel protective of her?
Yeah, I definitely feel protective of her. It was hard for me being that young and being in the industry and not knowing where to turn and everyone, you know, telling me they love me and, you know, just turn their back on you in a second. It's hard because I want her to know that, you know, she can count on me. But at the end of the day, I'm never going to force myself to be in relationship with her. It has to be natural, right? So I just kind of, you know, let her do her thing. And if she ever needs me, I'm going to be here for her. But just protecting those moments because people take for granted encounters and... I just want to protect her, you know? I don't want her to lose it. I don't want her to, you know, go through anything I went through. I don't wish that upon anybody. So, if she ever needs me, I'm just a call away.
You know what? Man, we should be praying for these people.
Mm-hmm.
Even Diddy.
Yeah.
Pray that in the midst of this, that the Lord resurrects him
mm-hmm.
from death to life.
In prison.
In prison. Yeah, he deserves to be in prison.
Yeah.
In prison. Praise God. But Justin Bieber, man, Justin Bieber, I also pray for him. You know, he's talking about the context of that conversation, the interviewer is kind of who brought up the craziness of fans,
mm-hmm.
but then kind of conflated that with what Justin Bieber was saying regarding protecting Billie Eilish. Justin Bieber wasn't crying over fans being crazy.
Right. Right.
He wasn't crying over fans
being crazy. He sees a young artist, young female artist coming to an evil industry.
An evil industry where if young boys and men have things done to them with and without their consent, then obviously young girls and young women get it the worst. Obviously. There are even suggestive videos circling on that round with Justin Bieber now.
Yeah.
And you know, the reason I feel bad about that is because the culprits are the men around him in those videos.
Right.
It's the men around him in those videos, and he's the one being abused. He's the one being abused. And that's a shame. That's a very big shame. And these, the writing has been on the wall. The writing has been on the wall. How many children who matriculate through Hollywood come out with flourishing lives?
Right. Right.
And I'm even guilty of this one where an artist seems like they're going to be successful. And then I kind of like not today, but I'm saying my young self would slander them and be like, man, they fell off. They ain't come out with no new music. They're probably smart. They were probably wise. And so there are a lot of people who are being implicated in this. A lot of people who are being implicated. I've talked about this on this podcast. I used to idolize Jay-Z. His name is being dropped a lot regarding these things. If he has if he has a fingernail in any of this stuff, Lord, throw him in prison. Throw him in prison. Get the music. That's what I meant to do. Before we wrap up, I want to read the lyrics to one of his songs. Because one
Jay-Z
of the,
or Diddy?
Jay-Z.
Oh.
This is one of the things that people are highlighting, and all of this is about discovery, right? I mean, Darren, you pointed out the fact that Puffy's producer chose this route because it was the only way he could
get discovery. Right, and he actually made a new, so it started off just as a lawsuit because he didn't get paid per their agreement. And then it turned into a new sexual or a rape lawsuit, suing him for sexual assault. But I think he couldn't sue him. He didn't care about money. He didn't care about not getting paid for the album. He wanted to get a lawsuit on paper, get Diddy in court so that he can bring this up.
Oh, okay.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Because other way is, if it's just a lawsuit about getting paid, you just pay him some money and be over with. But he brought him in court and said, oh, by the way, he rapes people.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
By the way, he's evil and does a lot of evil things.
I pray that they're caught. I pray that light is shown in the darkness. I pray that people who have been victimized by them would find some comfort and solace. Look at this. Listen to this. No, I'm not going to read. You can, if you're looking on video, you can read it. This is Jay-Z's song, and the reason I chose this song is because it's with Foxy Brown, and Foxy Brown came into the rap game as a minor. As a minor. And what's kind of well known but not officially talked about is the relationship she had with Jay-Z, a grown man. And how abusive that relationship was. But this is what Jay-Z says. I keep it fresher than the next B. No need for you to ever sweat the next B. With speed, I make the best B see the exit. Indeed, you got to know you're thoroughly respected by me. Yeah, right. You get the keys to the Lexus with no driver. You got your own 96 something to ride in. And keep your butt tight up in Versace. That's why you got to watch your friends. You got to watch me. They're conniving. Shoot, the first chance to crack the bank, they try me. All they get is 50 cents. All they get is 50 cent francs and papayas from the village to the telly. Time to kill it on your belly. No question had more black chicks between my sheets than Essence. They say sex is a weapon, so when I shoot, meet your death in less than 8 seconds, still pounding in my afterlife, laughing, my ish is tight. Who you asking, right? And then, you know, they sing the chorus. There's no need for that. I'm not going to read the rest of that. But she's young.
I think she was like 15.
Yeah. Yeah. Very young. And the same was the case with Aaliyah. Mm-hmm. And so that I remember, only reason I'm bringing those up because I remember being in middle school and those things being like gossip, or maybe it was high school. Gosh, have mercy. But that stuff being like gossip, like, yeah, Foxy Aaliyah. Brown mm-hmm. is this young and she's dating Jay-Z, or Aaliyah is this young and she's married to R. Kelly. Mm-hmm. Bro, who allowed that to happen?
Yeah.
Not only that, the things surrounding, because this is a part of discovery with Diddy, right?
Yeah.
That he had a hand in her death, right. Potentially,
yep.
allegedly had a hand in her death. One thing that we do know is that Aaliyah didn't want to get on the plane. She refused to get on the plane that crashed, but in her refusal, they gave her a sedative, and then when she got knocked out, they put her on the plane, and the plane crashes, and she dies. Or am I getting that wrong? As far as maybe Jay-Z is alleged to have a hand in that rather than Puffy, or maybe both.
It was Diddy.
Okay, yeah. Okay. But
I think it's one of his planes.
Have mercy. So that's what we're highlighting, guys. We're highlighting the fact that this world is truly dark, and it really sheds light on the passage. I mean, I feel like we read this passage all the time here. When we talk about the new heaven and the new earth, and that's how we're going to close this episode. We're going to close this episode off because in our stupor, in the church's stupor, we are so enamored with, what's it called? Aesthetics.
Yeah.
We just want things to be like nice and neat and comfortable, and to the point where if people, I mean, can you imagine? I'm sorry, but I'm going to say it. Can you imagine? Let's say that somebody in Diddy's circle who escaped came to our church. Mm-hmm. They'd be seen as a nuisance. Mm-hmm. Not explicitly. People wouldn't say, oh, get out of here, you nuisance. But they'd be needy. Mm-hmm. They'd be very needy. They'd have trust issues. They'd have issues. Mm-hmm. A lot of things they need to talk. They would take a lot of time, a lot of slowness and patience. But when it comes down to the way that we think about church and the way that we think about what it means to even move as the church, it's so curated. And it's so, I don't know, man. I'm speaking from a cultural standpoint. And so I want to read this passage, Rome in Revelation. Revelation 21, it's about the new heaven and the new earth. And there's a point in that passage that typically gets read. And then, you know, we stop reading after that. And so I don't want to stop reading. I want to keep going because it's in there for a reason. And it is also extremely hopeful for anybody who has experienced even an ounce of these things. I'm going to skip around a little bit, so just for the sake of time, but I'm going to start at 21 verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, behold, I'm making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. I'm going to skip down to verse 9. Then came one of the... Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm not going to skip down to verse 9. I'm going to keep going. All things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly... those who sit idly by and don't want to address the evils in front because they're afraid of what might happen to them. As for the faithless, everything that we're seeing in entertainment culture, everything in Hollywood, everything that rejects everything regarding the knowledge of God and every righteous deed that comes from him. As for murderers, the sexually immoral, that's those who are in these Diddy findings and those who find their identity in sex. Sorcerers, Hollywood. Idolaters, those who watch and love Hollywood. And all liars. I'm going to read that again without my commentary. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. That's how we can have hope in heaven and the new earth, is because the people who still love everything that God hates won't be there. And the reason we rejoice and we share that news with humility is because such were some of us. Such were some of us. And some of us who are in Christ even still have done those acts after having professed Christ. But your identity is transformed. So you're not labeled amongst that list. Your identity is son and daughter. And you also hate what God hates, even though you may fail at it. But to make sure people aren't off the hook there, if you're continually doing it and claiming to hate it, you need to examine yourself. Examine yourself to see if you're actually in the Lord. Because the Lord wins. I'd like to see these things be exposed. I'm sure a lot of people would like to see these things be exposed for the gossip's sake of it. I want to see people delivered from this. And if people are under the allure of what Hollywood is or what these stupid stars are, then Lord, tear them down in front of their faces. Let them see that they can be brought low in humiliation under your thumb, that people would know that you are Lord and your name would be exalted. That's our prayer, guys. Thank you for this long form episode of Black and Blurred, where you're guaranteed to hear one of two things, our humble opinion
or the facts.
Holler at us.